Welcome to Reset Your Mindset with Angie C. I'm super excited to have you here today to share inspirational stories from entrepreneurs around the world that provide you with valuable lessons and mindset strategies to enable you to play the game of life your way. Why don't we just start essentially with your story to begin with?
Okay, cool. So my story is an odd one. So at age seven, I was adopted. I dropped out of school the last grade that I completed was the actual eighth grade. I dropped out of school when I was 16 and went to work.
Yeah.
And by the time I was 19, I was in prison.
Yeah.
For selling drugs, and got out and had a successful career as a short-term successful career as a mortgage person, and ended up getting in trouble for some guns, had to go back to prison again.
Yeah.
And got back into the mortgage business again and did really well until 2010. The government here passed a law called Dodd-Frank, and it made it to where I couldn't renew my license to continue to do the banking side of the mortgage business.
Okay.
And that's how I got forced into this whole internet marketing sales training business. Now, I was really good at doing mortgages, and I was one of the top people in America for as far as originating volume of mortgages. But at the same time, I wasn't able to renew my license. So I started off on this internet world teaching people, you know, what I did as a mortgage person, like how to just, you know, how to do mortgages or whatever. And we kind of expand to all sorts of different salespeople from there. But that's it from like a 30-second overview there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. How many people would you say that you've worked with to date? Like in terms of entrepreneurs and your own business?
Well, you know, as far as like paying clients, somewhere around the 5,000 mark over the last 6 years. So we're sitting somewhere around the 5,000 mark.
Yeah.
But our reach as far as people that hit our blog and people that, you know, read our Facebook posts and stuff like that is around 3 million a month. So, yeah. You know, we're reaching so many more people than actually pay for us, right? So we're,
yeah.
And I like to believe that I put good content out.
Yep.
And so I'm thinking that, you know, we're really helping millions upon millions of people get better, whether they pay us or not. You know, at this point, we're making good money and more money than I ever expected to make. So it's just nice to be able to help people, whether they buy our shit or not. You know?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And obviously you got good content because you wouldn't have that many followers to begin with. But also
I've got enough haters to where if my content wasn't good, they would have already ran me out of town. They've tried every chance they get anyway, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Very true, Ryan. I think too, you know, in line with helping millions of people, people come to you when they either need you or something happens and they realize that they need you. Do you know what I mean? Like it's all in good timing. So they might follow you for years. Cause I know myself from experience as well, that's happened to me. I don't know about you, but you know, everything always works on the timing factor.
Yeah. The average person we discovered follows me for about 8 months before they buy anything.
Wow. Okay.
And that's like our average paying customer. So that means there's so many more. You think about it, 3 million a month, only 5,000 customers in 6 years, right? There's so many more that are watching longer than that. And that's okay too. But like you said, that when people hit me up,
yep.
They're, hey, I'm at a point where this happened, or I don't want this to happen again, or hey, I know that I need to know more than I know. Like there's some sort of, you're right, there's some sort of life triggering factor that happens to cause them to reach out to me. And it's not always a negative thing.
No.
But I mean, sometimes it's a very positive thing, but at the same time, you're right. It is some sort of life-changing circumstance that allows them to reach out to me.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So tell me, when you're working with clients, how does it work? Like, are you doing the coaching? Is it the group coaching? Is it a blend of things? How are you operating at the moment in your business?
Yeah, so I try not to use the word coaching just because it's kind of overrated. But yes, we do have we call it consulting on our end. And, and what we do is basically, I have a whole team of people that work with me these days too. And so I have other coaches, like I have a real estate specialist and a mortgage specialist. So the people that come on that are in real estate, absolutely, I'll help them. They have unlimited access to me. But at the same time, they do better to reach out to Adam, my real estate coach, who's selling 30 or 40 homes a month every month and is the number one leader in his marketplace, because he's going to be able to give them like, hey, I just did this shit yesterday type of information. Whereas for me, it's like, hey, this works, and I taught Adam how to do it, but he is actually doing the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah.
So he's a better person that's better qualified, honestly, to answer for the most part, because he's actually doing it. The same with my loan officer trainer as well. So we, the way that I have is I have groups in 37 private clients.
Yep.
And the average person's paid $25,000 to be back there.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a call every Monday. We do a hangout, like a Google hangout, every Thursday.
Yep.
And then I have my technician guys fix anything that they need technology-wise on Fridays from like 10 to 12. And it's not mandatory that anybody show up at any of these trainings. And oftentimes, my clients are such high-level people, they're actually paying for me to consult their team, right? So
yeah.
They'll come on board, and I'll work with them one-on-one, but they plug their team into all my training and stuff like that. And we've built it at this point to where it serves the high-level guy to where he has a team of people and not enough time to train them, or he needs to scale his business. He can plug a lot of people into our marketing training, our advertising training, and our sales training, and save himself a whole lot of time, right? And those are really the people that we attract. My average person that's in my tribe's income is $250,000 a year, and that's probably on the low side. Many of those guys are doing six figures a month back there in real estate and mortgage transactions.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Did you fall into this, so to speak, or was this, did you know that this was your purpose in life to do this?
Well, you know, the voice in the back of my head has always told me that I had this purpose to serve people and make an impact in a certain way. And I didn't realize ever, nor did I ever think that it would be through sales training and internet marketing. I'm thankful that it is. I like the industry and the community is really cool, but I never had an idea that this would happen. What basically happened, a short story, is when my license was taken away and I was forced to find something else to make money from, right? One of my real estate referral partners reached out to me and he said, hey man, you should teach loan officers how to do what you did. And I was like, man, they don't like me because I just finished taking everybody's business over the last few years, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, man, people would kill for that information. And he introduced me to this whole internet marketing community. And, you know, I just fell in love with it. I was like, wow, this is something that I don't have a boss. I don't have a licensing regulation. I don't have like a governing body telling me that I can't be myself or that I have to wear a suit or that I have to show up at a corporate building. And, and I didn't have my hands in anybody or my well-being in anybody else's hands. And it, you know, it was just like the perfect, I mean, literally it was the perfect place for me to fall into. And, it, you know, I'd like to tell you that I got rich overnight. That wasn't the case. Just like anybody else, I hustled for 4 years before I really saw any kind of money, any kind of extravagant money come in anyway. But at the same time, you know, I was just kind of, somebody just didn't force me into it. They just showed me. And I thought, man, if half of what this dude on the video that we were watching says is possible, then I'm in, you know what I mean? I'm all the way in. So.
Yeah. And so how did your name, the Hardcore Closer, come about?
That's actually a funny story because when I first started the internet marketing stuff, I was inside a title company. That's where people go to sign real estate contracts and exchange money for the property, right? And so I worked in – my office was inside this title company, and there were all these, like, little old ladies running around. And I had worked in the like blue-haired ladies, you know what I mean? Like in their 60s, 70s, you know? And I had worked in the car business, and everybody had called me the closer. Like, if the guy couldn't get the sale closed, they would call me in to come and sit down and talk to the client, right?
Wow.
And so I closed a lot of deals at the car dealership that way. I was just like the guy to go behind the sales guy. So they called me the closer. Well, when I got to this title company, all these little old ladies on their business cards, it said closer because, like, they signed the closing documents. It's like meant something totally different, right? It was like closing the file, not closing the sale. And so me and my friend, man, we were drinking a couple beers back there in the office one day, and we were like, those ladies are like hardcore closers. Like, dude, they would close sales deals, like cars. He was like, they would embarrass you, bro. You have nothing on these little old ladies here, just like joking or whatever. And we just like started saying hardcore closers, and it kind of stuck for a couple of days. And then I was like, dude, I'm going to register at this website. Like, we couldn't quit saying it. And I registered the domain Hardcore Closer. And then within a couple of weeks, I had a couple of blog posts up. And then I started using it really as a tool. Like, when I would prospect out to people to do their done-for-you work, I would just send them the videos on that blog. And so I used it as a tool that way. And, you know, flash forward to about a year ago, finally somebody reached out to me that knew what they were doing. And they're like, we're going to design a website for you. We're going to charge you a boatload of money.
but it's going to be totally worth it. Just watch what we do. And that thing went readily from getting like 2,000-3,000 views a month to 200,000-300,000 views a month. And it's been pretty consistent around 250,000 to 400,000 hits a month ever since, for about the last year and a half.
Oh, that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. That's very cool. What car dealership were you working at, Ryan?
I was selling Fords.
Ah, okay. Cool. I love cars. That's awesome. All right. Now let's get down to business.
I like cars too. Really fun selling cars. Yeah, it was fun. It was probably the funnest job I ever had because it's instant gratification. Like, yeah. You know, when you sell mortgages, they sign papers and they still got to move and all that. When you sell a car, like, they drive off with a smile on their face. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. A car is freedom. That's what it represents. I love it. What's your favorite?
So right now I have a Maserati Ghibli. I'd have to say that's my favorite right now.
Oh my God. No, I can't believe you just said that. Oh my God. I don't know if you've seen any of my writing, but I actually put cars in articles, and guess what car I put in there? Maserati.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I love mine. It's a great car. God. It's got a 2016 with the twin turbo engine and stuff. It's pretty sick.
Oh, that is. Oh my God. I can't believe that. All right. You just gave me goosebumps. All right. Let's talk now about the mindset. So in your opinion, what do you believe is holding people back, or, you know, why are they not getting where they want to go? And particularly when we talk about sales, because that's obviously your expertise. What do you think people aren't doing?
Well, it's funny, you know, last night I did my first call. I'm recording content, so I allow people to come in and experience the content while I'm recording it.
Yes.
And I charge them like a small fee just to kind of be in the audience. And I did my first call last night, and it's about mindset. And I'm not much of a mindset guy. I teach advertising and sales, right? Sales has a lot to do with your mentality, but it's not really a mind, like, guys don't come to me for mindset stuff. But I've been teaching this class just because I want to get some things off my mind. And one of the things that I focused on last night on our first call was, you know, if a lot of people get stuck in the past, they allow their family, their friends, and people to like hold things over them. And they think because, you know, maybe they've done drugs with somebody in the past, or maybe they've had sex with somebody in the past or something like that, that they let that hold them back, right? And you know, I always say this, that like if you had done something atrocious, you'd be serving a life sentence in prison. If you're not in prison right now and you're not serving a life sentence in prison, whatever you've done is really not that bad. Or your jury of your peers and society would have found you and convicted you just like they do when you commit atrocious crimes. So anything that you've done in the past is forgivable, and you're able to move past that. But here's what most people spend their time doing. They spend their time thinking about the past. They live in regret. Right. They spend their time with this regrets. And when you have regret, you're living in the past. And the best advice that I can give anybody, whether it be in sales and getting yourself out of a slump, or whether it just be in life in general, is you can't have regrets. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
A regret is a waste of an emotion, because if you regret something, you're living in the past, and that shit's already done. There is absolutely nothing you could do, time short of a time machine, which doesn't exist, because time machines either exist or they don't exist, right? There's no in between. Like, we can go back in time or we can't. So the thing is, like, you know, if you're living in regret, you're living in the past, there's nothing you can do about that. So you might as well press forward. So instead, what I challenge and teach people to do is focus on just staying two steps forward. If you'll always focus on two steps forward, and I know people will say, don't live in the future, you'll be anxious. I'd rather be anxious than live with regret, right? Yeah. So I teach people to look two steps forward and stay focused ahead. And what happened has happened, right? Just focus on what you've got to do to stay ahead of what happened and chase you if that's the case. But for sure, don't turn around, and for sure, don't take the time to feel sorry about it. And that applies to sales too, right? Just because you lost that sale, don't turn around and look back and start feeling for yourself and start losing your confidence and everything else. Focus on what you're going to do two steps ahead to close the next sale.
I love that. So for you personally, what was there a shift for you, or like, you know, a moment in time that was a turning point in terms of you being able to master sales yourself and get into the right mindset?
Well, you know, I'd like to sit here and say that there was like this unique turning point or whatever, but I was born this way. I really was. Yeah. You know, a lot of people act like they weren't. I was born this way. There's two types of people: the type of people that can talk your head off, and the type of people that can't come up with shit to say.
Yeah.
And I have to be one of the type of people that can talk their head off, and plus I've been educated in sales. I've read every book, taken every program, studied under most mentors, more mentors than probably anybody else out there. And you know, so there's not one exact pivoting point or anything like that. But I can tell you, there was a time when I've got, you know, maybe I'd been in the mortgage business for about 6 months and I became top producer and had my own branch and stuff like that. It was like that moment that I knew that I would never be poor again because of sales. Mm. Right up until that moment, all I had ever done was really sell car washes. But when I had made my first six figures in a quarter of a year, I was like, I have a skill now that I can use to make so much more money than I was using it for, and I'll never be broke again thanks to sales. And that was when I was like, dude, I just need to continue to get better at this, and I'll never be out of job. I'll never be in this place where I can't go hustle and make a quick dollar.
Yeah, yep. So you mastered what you're naturally good at.
Some people can play baseball. I can't throw for shit. I look like President Obama out there trying to throw a baseball. I'm terrible. But at the same time, I'm good at speaking and I'm good at, you know, coming up with quick solutions to you know, problems that people are facing. And I'm good at helping people see a different angle than before. And that's my gift. And instead of me trying to focus on getting good at golf and football or getting good at, you know, statistics or numbers or whatever, I just went with my strength and kept honing it as much as I can, much like an athlete does when he finds out he can run faster than everybody else, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. So I guess, though, having said all that and just your journey and your experiences, you must have a mental toughness, so to speak, or a particular mindset that helps you overcome challenges and obstacles maybe better than some other people. What are those steps, or what would you advise to others who want to attain not only the level of success, but get their headset, you know, in the right place to be able to attain what they want? So, you know, obviously being in prison would not be the easiest thing in the world to do. So I'm just trying to understand how you actually got through those situations in life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've been good about focusing on the future. You know, when I was in prison, two steps ahead meant what was I going to do when I got out?
Okay.
And what was I going to do to avoid having to go back through that situation again?
Yeah.
In the business world, I have this what's next mentality.
Yeah.
And I spoke about that, saying, you know, two steps ahead of everything. And, you know, I have a lot of stress that comes down on me and a lot of things that I have to deal with, competitors and people trying to crash websites and, you know, ad spends going up and all the normal stuff that any internet marketer has to deal with.
Yeah.
And the one thing I think that keeps me mentally tough through it is I always look and say, well, you know what? Like, I'll take the risk and do what I need to do, make the investment, buy the ad spend, increase this, that, or the other, because the worst case scenario, I lose all my money, and that's still better than going to prison, right? So yeah. I've been to this like rock bottom place where I'm not scared to take a risk. It's just money to me. I'll figure out I'm in sales. I'll figure out a way to sell myself into some more money. And I've been able to take risk. And you know, a lot of entrepreneurs never, and business owners and whatever, they never make it to the level they want to because they keep playing safe. They don't take a risk. Really, this is what happens to entrepreneurs. There's a couple types that exist. There's the type that can withstand growth and continue to grow and it be okay. Yeah. And then there's the entrepreneur that hits the upper limit in growth and says, okay, we've built it to here. Let's just make sure we don't screw it up. And what happens when that second person arrives and they say, we built it to here. Let's just make sure we don't screw it up. They usually end up screwing it up. They usually end up making it smaller than the portion that they built it to. And then they keep trying to build it back, and they'll build it back to that portion where they leveled off. And then they'll knock it back down again and build it back. Whereas the first type, which is what I am, I've removed the ceiling in my business, and I'm okay with, you know, like this time last year, my bills were about $8,000 a month. Right now I'm sitting on $70,000 worth of credit cards just for the month. I pay them off every single month.
Yeah.
So just this month alone, my bills, because we put everything on credit cards and then pay it off, so we get the points and stuff, are around $70,000. That's more That's almost 10 times what my bills were just a year ago. Yeah. But there's no way that and a lot of people be like, dude, that's so much money to invest. And it is. But at the same time, I have a high risk tolerance because I know that this $70,000 that we've put into the systems turned around and brought us about 250 grand back.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people will play small. They'll never pass that $8,000 mark that we were talking about before. And they'll just continue playing in that realm and wonder why they never broke free. Well, you can only get to that $8,000 level doing $8,000 stuff. If you're going to get to the next level, you're going to have to do $80,000 stuff. Right. And a lot of people will never take that risk to the next level.
Okay. That's interesting because, you know, you do hear that a lot, but I guess if I were to break that down, like say, for example, you know, there's an entrepreneur out there, they're playing small, they've reached a limit, you know, where their mindset's at in terms of their what they're making in their business. So take a risk and play it safe. How would they do that? What would you suggest is a way to go about that? How would they start?
Well, the start is, here's, like, I'll give you an example of my business. A loan officer will run an advertisement, and they'll spend $50 a day, and they'll get two or three leads a day.
Yep.
And they'll say, man, I need to get more leads.
Okay.
And I'll say, well, man, put $250 a day into it, and then you should have, you know, you should have five times the amount of leads that you have right now coming in. And they'll say, well, what if I don't, right? Or they put $250 in one day, and it only spits out three more leads instead of five times the leads. Or, but at the same point, they're getting what they want. They're just scared to invest more money, right? A lot of people are like, oh, this worked. I just don't want to break it. And so what I could say is like, hey, you know what? If you've got something that's working, like what's it going to hurt you if you double down on it 1 month? Like 1 month, one time, what's it going to, this isn't Vegas. You've got it scaled. You've figured out if you spend X amount of money with your advertisers or X amount of money on your website every month, you get X amount of traffic. What's it going to hurt you 1 month if you took the risk and you doubled down on it?
Yeah.
And most people won't, and they can't figure out why they can't get double the business, but they've never thought about doubling down. And it's not just advertisement. What if it's doubling down on your business, period? You know, going ahead and taking the loan out from the bank and buying the extra equipment that you need, right? Going ahead and hiring that other salesperson that's actually worth a damn and putting them on a little bit of salary because they have skills and they've come from somewhere else as opposed to just hiring some stranger off the street and taking a risk on them.
Yeah.
Right? Why not double down and invest back in your business? And a lot of people won't do it. They're just scared and they don't have anybody there to say, hey, dude, what are you doing? Just put some more money down on it. It's working well. Just make sure it works better. Just make sure it still works at the same level and invest more into it. It's pretty simple most of the time. But you know, when it's our business, we get emotionally involved and we get our blinders on and we get caught up in the day-to-day actions and the I built this thing, it's my baby and all that stuff. And sometimes it just takes an outsider. I was that way. And one of my mentors was like, hey man, you're throwing $100 a day at it. Why not throw $1,000? And I was like, I don't know. I never really thought about that. And he goes, try it, see what happens. We threw $1,000 in it. Next thing you know, we got 10 times the leads. And we've kept going that way since then.
Yeah, that's so true. Particularly when it does come to money. And like you said, yeah, people view their business differently and don't always see so clearly what's going on. It does require sometimes someone from external to say, hey, did you think of this? Or what are you doing there? Or, you know, whatever, point something out. Mm.
Absolutely. That's why mentors and consultants and coaches and all that are important to have. You know, no matter how big your ego is or how big your operation is, most of my clients make more money than I do.
Yeah.
And the guy that I was on the call with, the guy in Australia, before we hopped on the phone here, and that guy's probably making five times what I make. But at this point, that's not what matters. It's the fact that I can come in and help him even 10x the five that he's already doing.
Yep. So in working with all your clients, is there a particular strategy that keeps coming up, meaning like is there a common pattern or theme that you find across the board that you usually have to educate your clients on to 10X?
Yes, so a big thing most people come to me, and this is within the last year because they've seen me do it. Before, people would come to me and they would say, you know, how do I run a six-figure-a-month business by myself without any help, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a while, and I got burned out on it, right? Because if I don't work, I don't eat. So I started scaling this business, and we've got about 15 members and contractors on our team right now that do different stuff from sales to tech support and all that. And so most people that reach out to me these days are like, how do I give up control? Because I really deal with those alpha personality types, right? Yeah. The ones that are already the top producer, they want that much more. They want to go out and start their own thing, or they want to take over the entire company or have a branch or something of that nature, start their own brokerage. And oftentimes we're control freaks as entrepreneurs because it's our baby and it's something we built up and everything else. And we're control freaks as entrepreneurs and we have a hard time delegating stuff, which keeps us from being able to scale our team and be able to build a business. Because, you know, it's one thing to make six figures a month as a solo entrepreneur, but when you die, that goes away. If you build a team and an actual business, which most people don't, and you, whether you're selling cars, mortgages, or whatever, you can still build a team and build a business around you being the CEO of that circle within the corporation that you work for. But once you start treating it that way, then there's longevity. You know, you can sell it off to somebody else. That's when you can bring in partners. That's when you can raise capital, even when you work inside another company.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Actually. And so that's what people are hitting me up lately about. They're like, hey, how do I build a team of 15 or 20 people and be able to, you know, make a few million dollars a year and leverage everything out to where I'm not stressed losing all my hair by the time I'm 40 years old?
Yeah, 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 that makes sense. That's very cool.
And these days, much of the team relies on technology. I mean, in all reality, we've been able to replace a lot of salespeople, and as sad as that is, but we've been able to replace a lot of salespeople and a lot of people that would typically be doing tedious work just with technology.
Very true. It's amazing.
Which allows us to run a lean operation, so that's something that I generally help a lot of the people that reach out with as well. It's like, hey, here's how you scale it, but also run it real lean with cheap technology.
Fantastic. What for you has been the most rewarding, like in terms of getting results? What's been the most rewarding person or, you know, company or what have you that you've worked with? Like, you don't have to tell names or anything, but just in terms of the experience, what did you find?
Well, you know, there's really a lot of them. I've had about 180 people go through my high level consulting over the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And five of them are millionaires. And I'm not trying to take credit for anybody else's work. I was just lucky enough to be along there for their journey. But it's really rewarding when somebody will say that, hey, I'm a millionaire because of your help. And, you know, it's one thing to make money on your own and have nice things, and that's all fine and dandy. But when you can help somebody else do it, and then you watch you and that person help somebody else do it, and then somebody else sees that it's possible because this person did it, and people start stepping up. And by the end of the year, we'll probably have another 3 or 4 people that we've helped get to the 7 figures a year income bracket. And that's an amazing thing. I don't care how long I've been in this game. When someone's like, dude, I made $1 million this year, that's life. I don't care who you are. That is life changing shit.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get chills just thinking about it. The fact that I've been able to be along journeys where, you know, on Mother's Day, it's hilarious. I'm scrolling through my newsfeed on Facebook. And sitting at the restaurant, you know, waiting on the waiter or whatever. And I see that one of my clients just bought his wife a Corvette for Mother's Day. Another one just bought a yacht and gave it to, you know, it was like a family yacht, but like, you know, surprised his wife with it on Mother's Day. Another guy chartered a private jet with he and his wife to go see his mother-in-law on Mother's Day. And I'm looking at these guys and I'm like, man, I've known them for a couple of years and they would have never been that way before, you know? And it's like, it was that moment of like, man, I really played a part in helping these people achieve things that they would have never thought possible. Myself, I would have never thought any of this that I have is possible either. Driving a Maserati, living in a penthouse and shit was like, you know, it's things you dream about as a kid, but then one day you're doing it and you're like, oh, wow, dude, I'm like really here. Like, you know, like there's a phase when you're a kid, you're like, adults have their stuff together. And then you become an adult and you're like, no, we do not. And then it's like some of us get to that point where you're like, man, I really do have my stuff together. I'm like the adult that I always thought existed as a kid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I see as a salesperson, I guess my job is to find a need and fill it, right?
Yep.
And so I saw a need on social media for podcasts and interviews and things like that where people are like, hey, find me on Instagram, I'm this, find me on Snapchat, I'm this, find me on Twitter, I'm this. it gets really hard to remember and catch up with everybody. And if you get a business card or a website, there's like 50 million different, you know, social media icons. So I created this software called Clixo.com, C-L-Y-X-O.com. And you can look at like Clixo.com/closer. That's mine. It's just one site, Clixo.com/closer, that allows people to go there and they can pick whatever social media channel they want to connect with me on. Yeah. And it's not a social media channel. It's just basically a search engine and a social bookmarking page. It's free right now. We're not charging anybody. We don't plan on charging people. There'll probably be like promoted profiles and stuff in the future. And I've only had the like final product here for a couple months. So there's only about 3,000 users on it. So most URLs are still open and all that kind of good stuff. But you know, that's like my pet project. And, you know, and because of the money that we've made through our other ventures and stuff like that, it's allowed me to dump money in this, which is a little passion project for me, because I think that the sales community, and especially those of us that, you know, go on interviews and have PR and all that stuff, you know, can really use something like that for the audience to remember how easy it is to find us. Like, find us in one spot and then connect with us wherever the hell you want. Like, basically a social media search engine.
Yeah. Yeah, really lovely to talk to you, and good luck, and wish you every success with your business moving forward.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening or morning or whatever time it is.
Yeah, enjoy your evening. Thanks, Ryan. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Movement, where we help you shift your heart and mind to excel in every area of your life. We appreciate any comments and your support. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and subscribe to our latest updates on angelinazimmerman.com.